It's Hebrews 12, and I'm reading from the Passion Translation.
Okay.
As for us, that's you and me, we have all of these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. Okay? So we are encircled. We are by those who've gone before. We stand upon the incredible faith of men and women who've gone before, who've paved a way, who've done the work, who've accessed things of God and then illuminated those things to us, who have breathed God's truth. We stand on that. We're encircled by their faith. And so because, this is what the scripture says, so because of that thing, because we have this beautiful platform of faith that we stand upon that you can read about in the whole of Hebrews 11, it says, so because of this, we must let go of every wound that has pierced us. We must let go of the wounds, the pain, the things that have hurt us, disappointed us, left us bereft, so that we can... It says, pierce us, and the sin we fall so easily to, so that we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination for the path that has already been marked out before us. Okay, so in order for you and I to run freely into the things that God has already predestined for us, way before he even put the earth's foundation in place, if we're going to do that, what our requirement is to throw off the things, the pain, the sin, the wounds that have pierced our lives, that hold us back. And in Ephesians 4 verse 31, it actually speaks about throwing off things like guilt and bitterness and envy and rage and unforgiveness, and to throw them off, to get rid of them, because they're a weight, they hold us back. And it's when we live free of those things that we're able to run with freedom and with pace and determination and passion along the path that God has predestined for us. And so the question I started asking myself this morning was, what wounds am I walking around with? You know, what am I carrying? What's in my heart? And we've spoken a lot on this platform about our hearts and the health of our hearts. Just hang on a second. Ani, how do they find me? All the time. What wounds am I walking around with? What pain am I perhaps carrying that is holding me back? And I think, you know, there are elements, if I look at how I reacted yesterday to the situation with my daughter, there are elements of guilt in my life that are unhealthy. I think if I'm honest, there are things that there's unforgiveness that I'm carrying that I need to face. Unforgiveness is a terrible thing. It turns to bitterness, and bitterness can lead to an extreme disillusionment and oftentimes depression. It's like something that's rotting, that sits in our hearts and begins to corrode and corrupt everything around us. Bitterness corrodes our souls. And I think, you know, it starts with unforgiveness. It starts with a wound that we don't deal with. And, you know, oftentimes unforgiveness can be towards people. It can also be towards God. I know that's a crazy thing, because, like, well, how can I feel that about God? But the reality is, sometimes the pain that we have walked through or the loss that we've experienced, we need someone to blame. Someone needs to pay. Someone needs to be guilty. And so we blame God. And we can live with an element of unforgiveness in our lives, like with him. And what ends up happening is we live with this reality where God owes us. Like, you owe me, God. Like, you took that, or you did that, or you made this happen, so you owe me. And, you know, that's unforgiveness, and it turns to bitterness, and bitterness becomes disillusionment and disappointment, and that can become depression. And ultimately, all of these things lead towards a death in our souls. Not to sound heavy or extreme, but that's what it is. And it's so important that we become aware of what's in our hearts. Like, what is sitting there? What wounds am I walking around with? What am I carrying? And why am I still carrying that? Because the reality is, Jesus paid it all. He settled the debt. We are made righteous. We are forgiven. And everything that is wrong and evil and painful in our lives, Jesus has taken care of. But there's still a reality of that walking, of us walking through that, walking it out here on earth. And that takes courage and it takes conviction and it often takes work on our part, where we begin to work out what it means to walk in the fullness of freedom. And so, what I'm trying to say is, you know, just because I may have an addiction, for example, doesn't mean I'm an addict. That's not right, no. What am I trying to say? Just because I've failed, okay, doesn't mean that I am a failure. So we live with the identity of someone who is forgiven and set free and righteous and whole, but we will still fail along the way, but that doesn't define who we are. We are free of those titles and we are free of those labels that hold us back. It's really, as I said, guys, I'm working this out on myself, but I really do feel like there's so much that we're carrying around because of the pain in life, because of perhaps circumstances that we have been involved in, and it's causing us to, it's there's so much weight that we can't run with freedom. I don't know about you, but if I look at those people who like run in the mountains with all their stuff on their back, like, good for you guys, you're amazing, but that's not an easy run. We weren't designed to run with that kind of weight. We were designed to run with freedom, and with agility and the ability to move. And when you're carrying all of that stuff, you can't do that as well, I don't believe. You know, maybe you can learn to become fitter in carrying all that stuff and you can still run, but I don't believe we were designed to run like that. We were designed to run with freedom. It says, then you'll be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has already been marked out for us. And so it really caused me to ask myself this morning, why am I reacting in a certain way to the circumstance? What am I still carrying in my heart? And we need to let it go. I need to let it go because the reality is my response, that pain point, is showing me that something's not right. You know, pain is an indicator that something is off. And so we need to respond to the pain. We need to respond to the emotion, okay? Not be led by it. But we do need to know that when something is painful like that, then something's up. We should pay attention to it. And oftentimes for me, it is those sneaky things that just lurk in our hearts. Anger, bitterness, envy, rage, unforgiveness, greed. We're doing an amazing series in church at the moment, actually, which is... around Andy Stanley's book, Enemies of the Heart, where it looks at the health of our hearts and how there are certain inhibitors to our freedom that lurk there. And so although Jesus has paid it all and we are free, the reality is there's still a responsibility for you and I to face some of these things and to shake them off. Okay? And that's not easy. You don't just, unforgiveness, let me just shake it off. No, it's a journey. But it's a journey worth going on. And it's worth figuring out how to live a free life. It's worth figuring out with God. I will never, ever look back and regret doing the work with Jesus. Because I'm more free today than I was 5 years ago. And I was more free then than I was 5 years before that. And it's all been a journey of me doing business with Jesus. Of me being honest about what's there and then asking him to help. And it's not pretty, guys. Okay? Just saying, it's not pretty to go, look, I think I have an addiction issue, you know? I think I have unforgiveness in my heart. I have bitterness towards my husband. I think I'm jealous of my friends. Those are not easy things to go, oh yeah, awesome, let's just throw it out there. Why? Because we carry shame. Because we don't want to admit that we actually are awful sometimes. You know, and the shame of these things causes us to be quiet. And we don't share it, and we don't unpack it, and we don't face it. And the reality is, it just becomes worse and worse and worse and holds us back from walking along the path that God's already set before us. And you know, we're going to walk along that path anyway because he's good and he's sovereign and he's kind. But the reality is, it can be a free, passionate, incredible walk, run. It can be amazing. It doesn't have to be heavy laden and hard and all the things. And so hope this is landing somewhere today. I just feel like it's really spoken to me in light of where we're at right now, understanding that we are surrounded by this incredible faith of people who've gone before us, and that is what we have as we move forward and work out our journey and run the race that God's called us to run ourselves. It says in verse 2, we look away from the natural realm. I know that's hard. Okay. I know that your circumstances, whatever you may be going through, may be completely overwhelming right now. But the encouragement in this letter is for us to look away from the natural. To look away from the natural, to not get caught up in the diagnosis or the, you know, the negativity or the extent of our circumstances. And I know, guys, I know that's hard. I know, I have walked through some hard things. It's hard, okay. But I believe the Holy Spirit this morning is gonna help you. It's gonna help you, even in the midst of your pain and your circumstances, to fasten your gaze to him. It says we look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze onto Jesus. Why must we do that? Because this is what it says. Jesus, the one who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. I want you to hear this today. You do not need to manufacture faith for your circumstance now. All you need to do is look to Jesus, because he's the one that has birthed the faith in you, and he's the one that is going to perfect it right to the very end. There is this notion in Christianity that we need to have faith. Can I tell you something that is true and that God keeps showing me and reminding me in this season, in this year? He has completely just overwhelmed me with this truth. I don't have faith. He's given it to me as a gift. He's given it to me as a gift. I access it. So all I need to do is fasten my eyes on him. I don't need to muster up faith. What even is that? How do I do that? I don't know. But I know what I can do. I can pick up my Bible. I can read about who he is. I can put on worship music and I can allow the truth of those words about who Jesus is and what he does and what he has accomplished and what it is, what is lying in front of me. I put those words on and they remind me of who he is, and that reminds me of who I am and what I have access to in him. I don't activate, muster up faith. He's given it to me. I just access it by fastening my eyes on Jesus. He's not asking us to have faith in this moment, to try and, you know, say all the right things and be this good Christian person and, you know, I don't know what you're feeling. I don't know what shame you're living under in terms of the circumstances that you're going through, but I want to tell you, you have faith for this moment. And it's not because of you. It's because of Jesus. And all you have to do right now is fasten your eyes to him. And you know what? Just when you can't lift your head off the pillow, just put the worship music on. And when you're crying too much and you can't even open your eyes, how do I even fasten my eyes to him? Just close them and picture him. Put the worship music on. Put the audio Bible on. Get the friends around you who can read scripture over you, who can pray over you, who can remind you who Christ is, because that is a way of you fastening your gaze to Jesus. Another way of fastening our gaze to Jesus is by taking communion. Communion aligns our gaze. It aligns our gaze. What it does is it goes, here is Jesus, bread and wine, his body and his blood. This is who he is. This is what he accomplished. And it's for healing and wholeness and freedom and forgiveness. And so we look at him. And when we look at him, we activate faith for the moment. And I'm telling you now, you may not feel it, but you have it because of him. all you have to do is focus on him. Focus your gaze on him. And if you do not have strength for that, that is when I say to you, call on people in your world to come and lift your hands up, to come and stand beside you. I have amazing stories of girls who have phoned me in deep despair and pain. Like unnatural pain that you can't fathom that people have to experience such brokenness. And all I've done is sat there and just said his name. Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. And you know what? I don't know what it did, but his name holds power. And something shifted. And peace comes. And hope arrives. And that's all that we need to do right now. Just fix our gaze on him. Okay, this is going all over the show, but it's good. I feel it's good. It says, his example is this. Because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation. He conquered the shame of the cross. That means he's conquered shame for you and I. And now sits exalted at the right hand of God, on the throne of God. So consider carefully how Jesus faced such intense opposition from sinners who oppose their own souls, so that you won't become worn down and cave under life's pressures. After all, you have not yet reached the point of sweating blood in your opposition to sin. And have you forgotten his encouraging words spoken to you as his children? He said, my child, don't underestimate the value of the discipline and training of the Lord, or get depressed when he corrects you. For the Lord is training your life. For the Lord's training of your life is evidence of his faithful love. And so, you know, this morning I really spent some time just thinking about the joy that is our salvation. What is that? What does that even mean, the joy of our salvation? It's hard sometimes to articulate these beautiful poetic words into practical reality, but I truly believe the joy of our salvation is that when Jesus faced the cross, as he, from the moment where he was in the Garden of Gethsemane to where he was betrayed to where he was tortured and beaten and then put on the cross and where he died, the joy of that moment that he accessed, that he took hold of, was as he pictured us with him. As he pictured this moment where a bunch of girls would gather together online and talk about how we can live a surrounded life. You know, he pictured this moment. He pictured the connection. He pictured the glory of his name. He pictured caring for us. That was his joy. And I thought about it this morning. You know, the reality is when he went through all of that, as crazy and mind-blowing as it can seem or appear, he pictured a face. He really did. Because he's God and he can do that. And he set his gaze on us being reconciled to him, of us living the lives so free and so full of joy and hope. And forgiveness and healing and wholeness, that we could run with freedom without the weight. We could run with freedom the path that he designed for us before the beginning of time. He pictured that. He pictured Tess. He pictured me stumbling into my calling, you know, with fear and trembling and all the things. He pictured me working this out. He pictured me doing business with him. He pictured me praying for my kids. He pictured me sharing with you. He pictured me stepping into all the things that God is calling me to. He pictured this moment, and it was the joy that was set before him that pulled him through that moment. And he fastened his gaze on you and I. And I think that is profound. And in response, what he's saying is, you don't have to do anything now. You don't have to do anything now. Just fix your gaze on me. The joy of your salvation, the joy of our salvation in him is him. It's to fix our eyes on him. The joy of our salvation is him. And what he's asking us right now in a world where we are feeling overwhelmed and contained and we're feeling unsure and uncertain and there's so much pain, he's not asking us to do anything else other than fix our eyes on Him, to fasten our gaze to Him. Because when we look to Him, we access faith. And faith gives us everything that we need to face our circumstances. It is also the very thing that pleases God. And so, not to make light of the scripture, it's weighty and it's full of truth. It's the simplicity of it is that we need to fix our gaze on Jesus. That's it. And if you're not sure how to do that, I can encourage you in ways to do that. I can encourage you through my own personal experience. You have to go on a journey of figuring out what it looks like to connect with Jesus, to experience His life in yours, to fix your gaze on Him. I can tell you what it looks like for me. For me, it looks like blasting worship music on my couch, sitting on my couch with a cup of tea. It looks like putting a worship video on YouTube and putting my nose to the floor and crying out for Him. It looks like sitting in silence outside with a cup of coffee and just thinking about who He is. It looks like me reading the Bible and reminding myself that this is truth. That I may have formulated a truth about myself and the world, but the reality is that is not the truth. This is the truth. It looks like me speaking out who He is. When I see it in the Bible, I highlight it and I'm like, this is who He is. I look at that right now. I don't look at my circumstance. I don't pay attention to it. I don't accept it. I look at Him. And you know, some might say that, oh, you're just being optimistic. You're being unrealistic. I've had a revelation about optimism. It's powerful. And it's the very thing of who Jesus was. Optimism is focusing on possibility. It's not focusing on positivity. It's not trying to rile ourselves up. Oh, I'm, you know, like, oh, yeah, everything's awesome. Life's going to be great. That's not optimistic. That's completely unrealistic. Optimism is about focusing on the possibility, focusing on what could be. What if I took Jesus at His word? What if I just embraced this and He says I should just look at Him and I'll have faith, okay? That's optimism. And so we take our eyes off of the problem. We're taking our eyes off of what's positive, what we can't actually feel or experience. And we look at what's possible, what could be. And Jesus gives us access to that. That's faith. It's faith. In the spirit. Okay, I've given you a lot to think about, like probably too much, and gosh, just grateful. Hopefully there's no major theologians out here listening to me going on about Hebrews 12. Because let's be honest, I'm just an ordinary girl on a journey. But anyway, I feel like I've given you a lot to think about. I want you to go and read it. For yourself. I want you to go and read it and learn it and understand it and let Jesus take you on a journey of what it means to access faith, to live a surrounded life, to deal with the wounds that you've been carrying for years and years. The Bible speaks about these wounds as if they're spears that you've been stabbed with, and then they, you know, the stick's been taken out and the spear is still in your flesh. That is painful. You need to get that thing out. And so I think there's a lot for you to think about that I would love you to go and pursue. And most of all, you know, ask yourself, what does it look like me to fix my gaze on Jesus? What does it look like for me to do that? I hear what it looks like for Tess. That's awesome. Go Tess. But what does it look like for me to engage Jesus, to fasten my gaze to Him? Because it is a personal journey. And you can learn from mine, but you have got to go on the journey. Okay. So I promised you this morning, because I know, because I believe the Holy Spirit doesn't lie. And I want to say He told me, but it's more an unction that I have in my spirit that He wants to care for you today. And I believe He wants to care for you today by this knowing that you have everything you need to face what you're going through right now. Okay. You're not alone. You're not forgotten. God has not passed you by. He is not leaving you alone to flounder through your circumstance. You have everything that you need. All He's asking you to do is to take one more step forward in this minute and fix your gaze on Him. And then when you feel life breaking down around you in the next minute, take a breath and fix your eyes on him. And little by little, step by step, you're going to access more and more faith. You're going to access more and more of what you need for your circumstances. The very thing that only he can give you. The one who births faith in you. The one who perfects the faith within you as you go on this journey. And so I really do pray that that encourages you, that that cares for your soul, that takes the shame and the pressure off your circumstance and allows you to be in it, to be fully present in your pain. That's also helpful. Be present in your pain. Don't deny it. Don't belittle it. Don't pretend it's not there. Be present in your pain and allow Jesus to walk you through it. It's possible. It's possible to do these things. And if you're feeling stuck and if you need help, my girls, get help. There are many people out there who are trained professionals, who are trained counselors, who are prayer facilitators. We have incredible people within our church. If you're local, who can help you? You can always reach out to me and I can help you. If you're not local, it's helpful to be in touch with a local church in your area who can point you in the right directions. Because if you need help, girls, get help. If you need a psychologist or a psychiatrist, get one. Get help. If you need a counselor, see one. If you need prayer, ask for it. If you need community, keep showing up. Church is pretty much open. You have to book, but it's open. Okay, so you need to show up because I'm telling you, you need community. You might not believe it, but I know it's true. And it's going to do something for your souls. And so, yeah. I really do pray that you've been cared for. Okay, so listen, there was a lot going on in the comments. I read some of it. I could see someone said something about many fertility issues. So what I'm going to do, just because for time's sake, I don't want to spend too much time trying to read, and I want to assure you that I'm going to go through and read all of these comments, and I write your names down, and I'm going to pray for you. But what I want to do now is I want to pray into fertility. I do feel that. I don't know where I saw it, but it's lots of fertility issues. And I'd love you, if you are, I don't know if this is asking too much, but if you would like me to pray specifically for you with this issue, just raise your hand right now. And as a sisterhood, we will pray. If you don't feel comfortable to do that, don't worry. I'll go back and read. And you can also private message me, and I can pray for you over a, yeah, well, maybe we can make a plan to pray together in the future. But I'm going to pray corporately now. So if this is something that you want, my darling, okay. We're going to pray now. And, okay, awesome. Guys. Jody, Victoria. I just don't want to miss your name. Okay, this is three of you so far, but if there's anyone else, that's okay. You don't need to, if you're not feeling comfortable, you don't have to raise your hand, but I am going to pray corporately as well. We're going to pray. I'm going to pray specifically towards the care of God over your hearts, and also into infertility. Okay, and we're going to trust God to do a miracle in this moment. I thank you, Jesus, that you are here. I feel you. Just pray for your wind to blow. Blow on every single heart and every single soul. Thank you, God, that your spirit is life. And so we just receive your life right now, blowing through our lives into every area, into every heart, into every recess of our lives. I thank you, as this wind blows, God, you're going to begin to illuminate the things that are holding us back, the weight that we are carrying in our lives, the things that are keeping us stationary and static and causing us to trip and fall. And I just thank you right now that you're going to just take each and every one of us, as we've shown up this morning, we've put ourselves out there, we're saying, God, would you breathe life, and would you show us what we need to do, and would you help us to run the race that's set before us with passion and endurance And I just thank you, God, that you are the one who gives us faith. We thank you that you are the one who, you're the one who gives birth to faith in our lives, and you're the one that perfects it in our lives. And so as we show up, all we do is we fix our eyes on you. We don't have to manufacture faith. We don't have to muster up faith. All we need to do is set our eyes on you. And we thank you, Jesus, that you are the joy of our salvation, that there is no greater prize than knowing you. There is no greater reality than doing life with you, than being in your presence. And so I thank you, Holy Spirit, that as we walk and into this truth this morning, as we receive your truth, not the truth of the world, not the truth that we have, that we've established for ourselves, but the truth of God, as we walk into that truth this morning, I thank you that you are caring for our souls, that this is what self-care looks like, where we come and we submit ourselves under the truth of God, and we allow you to nurture who the very depth of who we are. And so we partner with you this morning, Jesus, and we say thank you. We say thank you that we can put all of our cares, all of our pain, all of our loss on you this morning, because you deeply care for us and you can carry it and you can handle it. And in fact, we are the joy because of the joy set before him. He endured the cross. We are your joy. And it is a privilege for you to carry our pain. And so we release that this morning to you. And we say thank you. And then God, this morning, we as a sisterhood want to come into agreement with life. And we want to speak to fertility, infertility this morning. And I want to pray specifically that God, you would work a miracle. That right now, every single woman who is experiencing infertility, is walking a road of infertility in their lives, would experience a God miracle. I thank you that wombs would be healed in Jesus' name. I thank you that you would, anything that is out of balance or out of place or the wrong pH or the wrong genetic makeup, God, you would come right now and begin to fix and heal and align and just completely overcome the obstacles that these women are facing. I want to thank you for the courage of Jody and Victoria and JD and Lindsay and Shauna and Odelia. And I want to thank you, God, that their portion is life and that you will give them a miracle. We thank you for miracle babies, stories of miracle babies that we are going to hear from this moment onwards, where God, you came through. Where you came through, where you brought life, where you breathed into wombs, where you breathed into relationships. I thank you, God, if there are issues with the guys, that you would just completely heal in Jesus' name any fertility issues that we that they are experiencing, whether it's on the guys' side or whether it's in their own bodies. I thank you, God, that if doctors are looking for answers and they need help, that God, you, the Holy Spirit, you would bring the answers, that the tests would reveal what needs to be revealed. I thank you, God, that you're working it out, and that there is nothing that you can do. There is nothing impossible for you. And so with great faithful optimism this morning, we fix our eyes to the possibility. We picture these children, little boys and little girls, who are going to be forerunners in the kingdom. I thank you, Jesus, that you're outworking this even now, that the screen is not a barrier, that this is not some manufactured moment, but it is the very breath and spirit of God releasing something in bodies right now, life upon life upon life upon life. And so we receive it. We thank you for your freedom and your forgiveness, your wholeness and your healing for these women. And we just partner with your truth that says that children are a gift of the Lord, and that they are for us. And so we receive that. We receive that, God, and we just speak healing and life and healing and life and healing and life. And we say, Jesus, 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 the name of Jesus over every woman now who is struggling with infertility, the name of Jesus over their bodies, over your bodies, girls, the name of Jesus. I see his name as a print upon your body right now. I speak his name over your womb. I speak his name over your ability to conceive, and I thank you that it is your portion, and we receive it now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we receive the miracle. And we thank you, God, that all the glory of these miracles, we are gonna pour out back to you as we give testimony of beautiful, beautiful life that flows from you. And so we receive it in Jesus' name. And I just want to, girls, specifically for those of you who are just feeling the pain of infertility, I want you to know that God loves you. And you are no less a woman because you can't have a baby. That is the lie of the devil. And I just want you to know, whether you've had kids or if you haven't had kids, you are no less a woman because you can't conceive. And I know the pain of watching everyone have babies around you. And I know that it can come, this, you may be receiving this from a girl who's had 4 babies of her own, but I want you to know, you need to hear this, not from someone who knows your pain, but someone who knows the truth. You are a whole, beautiful woman, and a baby is your portion in whatever form that comes. And so we speak to that. And just remember who you are. Remember who you are. Don't lose sight of who you are in this moment. Cling to him. Fix your eyes on him. And it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Oh. Okay, guys. I have kept you for far too long this morning. But I do feel that God has done something significant. And that he wanted to do this. That he planned it a long time ago. And so he's shown up because we've shown up. And I want to say thank you for doing that. Thank you for showing up. And let's believe. Let's continue to believe miracles for these beautiful girls. And to partner with the truth that Jesus cares for us. And he's given us everything that we need for this moment, for this season of whatever we're walking through. Okay. I love you all very much. And we are very excited to have Josh McCauley with us this weekend in church. I was actually meant to be preaching, but because this man carries a profound, God-given, supernatural anointing and gift to preach around this idea, I asked Dylan to ask him to preach there in town, and he has very kindly agreed. And I know that the anointing he carries is going to give us something that we need in this moment for our lives. And so I want you to show up for church. I want you to be present and engage and believe that God has something for you. Okay. And we will see you. I will see you next week. Okay. I'm excited. And I love you very much. You're all incredibly, incredibly precious to me. And I pray for you often, and God's smile and heaven's kiss and the blessing and favor of our Lord Jesus Christ be over you as you walk into the rest of your week. Amen. Amen. Love you. Bye.